are sheep without a shepherd today, or at least not a full-time shepherd, but we've got a shepherd. And you're a church without a musical director and a poor one to fill its shoes, but that's the way it goes. So we can worship the Lord anyway. So we're going to start out with Jesus' name above all names. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessings and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all your starry hosts, the earth and all that is in them, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Let's bow for a word of prayer before we begin. Oh, our dear Lord, we thank you for the privilege of coming to church. We thank you, Lord, for your Son. We thank you, Lord, for each other. We thank you for the body of the church. We thank you for loving us in spite of our faults. And we pray, Lord, that everything we do here will honor and glorify you, and that you will be with our assistant shepherd today and bless him as he gives us the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We have some anniversaries, big ones that have been celebrated this week. Denny and Lynn Kelling, and Pastor Tim and Bev, 40 years, and Pat and Dale Gerald, 50 years. So I want those anniversary people that are here today, please stand so we can sing to you. And why don't we say, dear friends, we're the birthday. You'll notice today we're singing two of our songs that were in the top 10 favorite hymns. Remember that Bob went, Great is Thy Faithfulness and Come Thou Fount, were in the top 10. In fact, I think both of them were in the top 5, if I remember right. So we're going to sing Come Thou Fount, which was one of them.
Oh, Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Harbor of Joy, and all those that are watching from home, thank you for coming. As far as our welcome announcements, we already congratulated our anniversary folks, and Dale and Pat are going to have a few cupcakes, and we will socially distance going out, or for taking them home if you'd like, if they're going to have them after the service. As far, we want to thank Pastor Jeff Griffith for being here this morning, giving us our message. We have some health issues. We pray for Walt Meyer, diagnosed with leukemia. Mary Kyle is still having back pain. Albert Levinas is still recovering from hip surgery. Dave Conby from surgery. And all those making plans for opening up our schools. That's the big topic of debate lately. We know this virus is not going to go away anytime soon. We'll take appropriate measures. Also, our sympathies to the Dean Dudley family on the death of Rose. And we pray for Pastor Tim and Sharon as they're on the road taking a vacation today. Also for Bob and Lisa Floss. They're also on the road, and then Bob is going to have knee surgery coming on the 4th of August. Also, our prayers go out to Marlene Jass on the death of her brother. That was just this week. Church Council, we will be calling members of our church. We've divided up names, and it's just to say hi and see how everybody is doing, if we need help or need prayers. So you can expect to be talking to one of us before the 4th of August. And if you have any special concerns or anything, please let us know. We want to keep our... Yes, go ahead. Pardon me?
To have been here, the death of Rose.
Sadly,
she is not. Thank God.
Oh, okay.
I talked to her last night.
Oh, okay, that's wonderful.
She's out of the hospital. She did grab
on
and say,
"Brother
Matt."
Oh, wonderful.
She is doing wonderful right now.
Oh, praise God. Well, thank you. Praise the Lord. It's always great to have good news. I think that's all I have. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make? If not, we will crown him with many crowns.
Women's Bible study starts on Tuesday. Isn't that right, Pat?
Yes.
Tuesday at 9:30, we're doing just a book with no DVD, so the books are $8, and Pat, I think there's 15 of us that are, or 17 of us that have signed up. So 9:30 on Tuesday for the Bible study of spiritual warfare. What is it, Pat?
Overcoming the enemy.
Overcoming the enemy. Okay. Okay.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love is eternal.
The Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion.
His love is eternal.
His faithful love comforts us.
When I am filled with cares, your comfort brings me joy.
Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish, for his mercies never end.
There every day and morning, great is your faithfulness.
For great is his faithful love to us. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you stand up? We need some exercise. To learn a new song, maybe. You've heard this on Christian radio, if you watch Christian radio, and Kylie Mock sang this a couple Sundays ago. You'll recognize it. I'm going to have the praise band sing it once through, and you can sing, and then we'll sing it again, and you can sing with us.
I was lost.
No words. All right. I'm going to have the band sing it once more, then if you just enjoy it, we'll sing it with the instruments. All right? Just listen and enjoy.
Even as a youth, and that was just such a wonderful thing to learn how to sing the different parts. And it's when you have the blend of all those voices together that you get that sound that is only there with the hymns that you don't have with the modern choruses and the modern worship songs. You don't get that blend of the voices to the same degree. And there's just something magical about that blending of the human voice and praise to the Lord. And that's a good example for us, just even thinking of that, is that if somebody is singing different notes than us, but they're in key, that actually enhances our worship, doesn't it? But sometimes some of us have trouble singing in key, but that's okay because the Lord just says to make a joyful noise. And for some of us, that's all we need to do is make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But it's when you blend those differences together, you get the beauty of that music as a sweet aroma before the Lord. That's why we have different instruments. It's the blending of those instruments, the same with the blending of our voices. The same will go with the blending of our talents and abilities and skills. All that to introduce Colossians chapter 1, the first 14 verses. And we won't get through all of this today, but we'll get through some of it. So let's read the word of the Lord. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel,
which has come to you just as it has in all the world, and is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our dear beloved fellow bondservant, who was a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to God, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I don't think we really need to preach on that. Just to hear it and to let that soak in is powerful. And that's just basically Paul's introduction to this book. The church at Colossae was going through some challenging times. There was a group of people there who were known as the Gnostics. And that's where we get our word, the Greek word for knowledge. And so they thought if you had some special knowledge, you could get closer to God. And that special knowledge was revealed to us through angels and other spiritual beings. And Paul needed to counter that false teaching, because that's not how we draw closer to God. It's through some special revelation, through angels speaking to us or some spiritual being speaking to us. Because the reality is, most of us don't have the ability, the discernment, to discern whether it's a spirit of light or a spirit of darkness. I mean, you just have to look into your own heart. How much of what we think of, now is this really from the Lord, or is just my selfish desires and ambitions? I don't know about you, but that's one of the big questions I have to ask myself anytime I have something come into my mind. Who's really the source of this? You know, is it my own selfish ambitions? Is it the Lord? Is it, you know, some demonic satanic thing that's trying to convince me to do something other? Is it someone else who's being manipulated by either the Spirit of God or some other evil spirit? So we don't have that discernment. So God has made it plainly clear. In Hebrews it tells us, he has made it very clear to us in these last days through his Son, Jesus Christ. He has made everything perfectly clear that we need to know to draw closer to God and to become more like him. Because that really is the objective and the goal of each and every one of us as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, it's enough for a disciple to be like his master. So that is what our objective is. But as we go back and we look at this, there's a few things I want to just kind of point out. One of the first things we notice is Paul introduces or talks about several people just in this introduction. Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ Jesus at Colossae. Then you have God he's talking about, and then you have Epaphras. And I want us to look at the words, or how each person, each individual, or each group is referred to. Because that helps us to understand, who are they? And the same thing applies for us today. Who are we? Let's look and see what Paul is saying, how he talks about each of these people, so that we can understand what it is, or how we should think of ourselves. First, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He had never been to this church previous to this, so he had to establish his authority as an apostle. But an apostle is simply one who is sent. It's someone who is sent. In Latin, we would call not an apostle, but a missionary. A missionary is one who is sent. So the Greek is apostle, the Latin, missionary. And when you look at the great commandment, we're all sent, aren't we? Go. Part of the calling that he gives us to make disciples is as we are going. And as in other words, he is sending us out to go, to make disciples. That is who he has called us to be. We are to be sent ones to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he says, Timothy, our brother. our brother. There's a term, when we think of talking about brother, father, son, daughter, we're thinking of family relationships, aren't we? How is he related to this whole network of churches, to the kingdom of God? He's our brother. He's a sibling. And then to the saints and faithful brethren. And again, you have the word brother coming there again. He's talking about everyone being brothers, as if we are in the same family. Then you go down and he's talking about God the Father. Again, you get father, because if you have brothers, you probably have to have a father and a mother, don't we? So here's God the Father, another family term to describe who God is. And Jesus Christ, Christ meaning the Messiah, the chosen one, the one who is both Savior, actually Lord and Savior, because he can't be your Savior until he's first your Lord. That's one of the things I learned living in Europe and under their feudal system. The Lord was responsible to care for and to save the people under his care or under his control from any outside attack. It was his responsibility. They served him, but he had to deliver them from any outside enemy that would come in and try to attack them. So first he was their Lord, and then he became their Savior. And that's just a clear picture of what our relationship with Jesus Christ should be. Saved first, he's Lord, and then Savior. If he isn't your Lord, then he doesn't have a responsibility to save you. So that's why lordship is really a big deal. The lordship of Jesus Christ is a very big deal. But again, he takes the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it says our Lord, again, emphasizing that lordship. He is the one whom we serve. Later on, he talks about Epaphras, who is a beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ Jesus on our behalf. So you have two different pictures here, but all of these things are using words that refer to some type of a relationship. You have two types of relationship that are predominant. One is that of a family member, and the other one is that of a master and a lord and a servant. And you have both pictures in there, and both of them describe how our relationship to God and each other should be. He's our Lord. He's also our Savior. He's our Father. And we are his children, and we are brothers and sisters in this kingdom of God. Who we are, then, is based totally upon whose we are. Who do we belong to? Who do we belong to? And you get that same picture right at the very end in verse 14 again. Actually, verse 13, 12 and 13 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. It's a matter of one of two things. You're in one of two kingdoms. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of light. And I don't know about you, but the more I am listening to all the talk, and the information and the perspectives about the whole racial issues that we're facing in the United States, the more I hear it, the more I am hearing from pastors of all genres, regardless of where we came from, where our ancestors came from. The issue is not black and white. The issue is not police or protesters. We got that mixed up. The issue is the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. That is the issue. It is boiling down, and it's very clear to see it's an issue of sin. There's police who sin. There are members of our communities who sin. And it doesn't go, that doesn't know any color. That has no color boundaries to it. There are people who obey, and there are people who don't obey. There are police who do a great job, and there are police who don't. It's not an issue of police, protesters, not an issue of black and white, or yellow, or whatever color you want to add. It's an issue of darkness and light. Are we in the kingdom of darkness and obeying those calls that are coming from Satan, or are we in the kingdom of light and looking to what God has to say? But let's go back and look at things a little more as we go through this again. As we look at it, number one, it says that we are the people in Colossae, and we could say the same thing for ourselves. They're saints and faithful brethren. Saints basically means one who is set apart. We are set apart for something unique and special. And sometimes that's hard to believe, but that's who we are. We are set apart, number one, to experience what heaven is going to be like for all of eternity. So heaven's going to be like, and you just think of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering. All those things are the things that we will experience in the presence of our Almighty God. Hell is basically the opposite. You will get to feel, those who go there will get to experience the wrath of God, His anger, and rage against sin. And the dividing line is, have you been brought into the kingdom of light? Or are you continuing to go your own way, do your own thing, and live in the kingdom of darkness? That's the bottom line question. Those who have been transferred into that kingdom of light because they have believed that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, that God has raised him from the dead, and they've confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, not Savior, but Lord, shall be saved. Again, lordship and believing come before salvation. So we are saints. We are called and set apart because we have chosen to believe with our whole heart, with our whole being, that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And we are willing to confess that Jesus is Lord. In the Roman days, that was a lot more potent than it is now, especially in America and some other countries. To call Jesus as Lord, basically you're signing your death sentence. That's what it was like. So if you call Jesus Lord in those days, it was a serious matter because only Caesar was to be Lord. And to say that someone else than Caesar was to be Lord was treason, which means death penalty. So you have a choice. To call Jesus Lord was a serious matter. It wasn't something that you just nonchalantly said. If you didn't believe that Jesus was Lord, you would not say he's Lord because you knew that you could die for that. So we are saints, we are called out ones because we have believed, because we call Jesus Lord, because he is our Lord. To the faithful brethren, when you think of that word faithful, what are you thinking of? It's not just a brother. There are brothers who are faithful and there are brothers who are not so faithful. How many of you have ever watched the Marvel series? How many of you have ever watched them? Especially the Thor movies. My sons and I, we like Marvel. So we just watched two of the Thor movies this past week. And he has a brother, Loki, who is not a very faithful brother. He's always going behind his back and always trying to kill him. You know, that's kind of the sibling rivalry. There's times when they work together, but most of the time, Loki is, they call him the god of deception, the god of mischief. And he's always involved in mischief and getting his bigger brother, older brother in trouble. He's not a very faithful, loyal brother. But we are called to be the opposite of that, to be faithful and loyal to one another. But the only reason we can do that is because we need to first be faithful and loyal to our Lord God, to our Lord Jesus Christ. The next line says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. This was actually a very standard greeting in the Roman time, around the turn of from BC to AD. This was just a standard greeting. You can read it in many even the legal documents or a document to rulers and government officials. This is how they would often say, grace to you and peace. And that was just a standard greeting. It says, for us, it'd be like saying, hi, how you doing? You know, that would be the same thing. It's like, how you doing? I hope you're doing well. It'd be about the same thing, saying the same thing. How you doing? Hope you're doing well. But they would say, grace and peace. And then, this is what I like, is you have two places in here that really should be two separate sermons, because it would take a day or 2 days just to go through what is packed in these two little prayers that he says. First of all, he says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for the saints. And because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, just as it has in all the world, and is constantly bearing fruit and increasing. This is a wonderful, wonderful description of what the gospel does for us. Number one, we receive the gospel by faith. We believe that it's true, because none of us were there 2,000 years ago when Jesus walked on this earth, did the miracles that he did, spoke the words that he spoke, died, buried, was raised again, and then rose again and ascended into heaven. We weren't there to see that. We have to have faith and believe that the records that we have, the historical records we have in Scripture, in order for us to really believe that that happened. We have to have faith. That's the starting place of it all. Faith. What is the fruit of faith? And here it tells us, if you have faith, the fruit of your faith is going to be the love that you have for all the saints. That's easy to do sometimes, and sometimes it's not so easy to do, is it? Sometimes the ones that are hardest to love are the people in your own family. You know, that's always been the case. It seems like, because number one, they know you best, so they know how to pull those little triggers really, really well, don't they? And the same goes for us. We know how to pull their trigger really, really well to get them ticked off or upset, or to get the response that we want. We just know that. But this is the evidence that we have faith. One of the evidences. And when you think of it, it goes right back to the great command, doesn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But it begins in the household of God, beginning by loving those in the household of God, in the family of God. And so he is giving thanks, number one, that they have faith. Number two, that faith is producing the fruit of love among them. That there is genuine love, which when you think about that, it's not the wishy-gushy feeling type stuff. It's more or less the ability to always do that which is good for the other person. And sometimes that's to say no, just as parents know that for their children. Some of the best ways to show love to your kids is to say no. And grandkids and great grandkids. The best word, the most loving word you can say to them is no. And sometimes the most loving thing you can do for someone is to discipline them. Doesn't sound like fun or doesn't sound like love, but that's love. You're doing what is best for that person so that they might experience the fullness of God's mercy, grace, love, his peace, his patience, his kindness and gentleness in this life and the life to come. That's what love's all about, helping the person to experience the love of God and all that is involved with that. And then it goes on from that. And because of their faith, and because their faith is producing the fruit of love, they have this glorious hope, this hope that is laid up for them in heaven. That's an amazing thing. That's where our hope is, because of the faith that we have. And because it's being evidenced in the love that we have for one another. Wasn't planning to go into that much detail, but that's needing not even really that much when you start meditating and thinking on that. And that's why we can thank God for each other. Just as Paul is thanking God for the people in Colossae, and Timothy is doing the same thing. He says, we, not just me, but Timothy and I are thanking God for you. It's amazing when you look through the scriptures how much is there that is almost always in the plural. It's us, it's you, it's us together. It's us giving thanks to God, always praying for you. Always, perpetually. Every time you come to mind, we pray for you, and we thank God for you. Sometimes that's harder to do for some people than others, isn't it? But that's when you know that you truly love someone, is when you're thanking God for them, even when they've done something that's not been too pleasant and that's been a wrong against you. You can still thank God for them and ask God to demonstrate his love to them by bringing them to repentance and bringing you to repentance, because you probably did something wrong too. It probably goes both ways. So the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, and then we'll skip the rest of it where it talks about what is the evidence and the fruit of the gospel being spread around the world. It's all in there. It's amazing. And they learned it from Epaphras. They learned all these things from someone else. It wasn't Paul or Timothy who told them the gospel and presented the gospel to them. It's probably Epaphras is what it's sounding like. He's the one who told them about the gospel. He's the one who's now working with Paul and giving a good report of what God is doing in their midst. Then he goes on for another section to talk about, he's praying for them again. And I think we covered this earlier in a previous sermon, but it's worth repeating. When you look at verses 9 through 11, actually 9 through probably 12, you have a wondrous description of the process of disciple making. It really makes it clear that the process of disciple making, or the process we need to go through to grow as believers in Jesus Christ, to become more and more the people God has called us to be, the people he has made us to be, to become the people we were designed to be. So this morning, to kind of illustrate that, we can go through it again, it says, number one, to be filled with the knowledge of his will on all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Interesting, it doesn't say just any kind of wisdom, any kind of understanding. It says spiritual. And when I think of the word spiritual, I think, who is spiritual more than anyone else? And that's the Spirit of God. It's the knowledge and the wisdom that the Spirit of God grants to us based upon the knowledge that we have been given or that we have obtained. This week, I helped someone fix a combine. If you've got combines, you know one of the most devastating things can be is when mice or rats get into your combine or any equipment and chew through all your wires. Anyone ever have that happen? Mice chew through the wires of your equipment? Well, they chewed through about 25 wires on the combine, so nothing was working. And it was terrible because you have to pull all these components out of the combine to get to where the wires were, and then you find out it's right where the wires go through a wall, a metal wall. The only fortunate thing, there was a foam thing there, a little foam block that I could take out, and I could get access to both sides of the wires. But in order to do that, I had to splice the wires back together, and in order to do that, I needed to solder them. I didn't want to just wrap the wires together, because that's not going to last very long, and it won't be long that those will start corroding, and you won't have a good connection, and pretty soon you have to tear it all apart and do it all over again. So the best way to do it is just to get a piece of wire, splice it together, and put a shrink tube around it, shrink the tube down, and you're watertight, and you're connected, and that's going to be pretty strong. But in order to do that, you need a soldering iron. Well, this is a soldering iron I got for things just like that, because the combine isn't close to the machine shed. So I could run about, you know, 5 or 6 extension cords out to where the combine is, or I could use a butane soldering iron. But this soldering iron only works if it's filled with butane. Without butane, this wondrous piece of this wondrous tool, which can do marvelous things, you can solder your wires, put on an attachment, heat up your shrink tubing, or lose your shrink tubing thing, get another attachment, put it on there, and you can cut plastic with it. It does about 5 or 6 different things depending on the tip you have on it. Multifunctional, fantastic tool. It's self-igniting, you know, you pull down a thing, hit the button, click, ignites, but you have to wait until it heats up. Once it heats up, then you can do your soldering, you can do your cutting, you can shrink tube and everything else like that. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, Lord, that's a lot like us as your children. We're kind of like that soldering iron. We are absolutely useless unless we are filled with your Spirit. Without your Spirit, we can't do a single thing. I can have this all day long, and it will never heat up the solder. It will never shrink the shrink tubing. It won't cut plastic. It won't do any of the other things it's designed to do unless it has butane in it. And the same thing is true for us. Unless we are filled with the Spirit of God, we're useless for the kingdom of God. And it's just like with this soldering gun. I have to continually be filling it up. So we have to be continually being filled up with the Holy Spirit so that God can continually use us when we need to. But the thing is that I did that for one day. The rest of the time, it sits on my shelf. It just sits there. But when I need it, it needs to be ready to do that which it's designed to do. Sometimes we get this feeling that we want to be used by God every day. But the problem is, just like with our tools and our toolbox, I don't use a hammer every day. But when I need a hammer, I sure am glad. Or a Phillips screwdriver. Or like yesterday when I was fixing the door handle, I needed an Allen wrench. A hammer and a screwdriver just won't work when you need an Allen wrench, will it? And it better be the right size Allen wrench. And it was a tiny little Allen wrench. I'm not very big, God. I'm just a little spork in your kingdom. I'm not very big. But he needs those little people to do things like door handles, to open up doors so that somebody else can walk through that door and do something different, something spectacular. But without that, it can't happen. So even the smallest, little, most insignificant tool that only gets used maybe once a year or once every 2 or 3 years is important because God has it, because a farmer's mechanic has it in their toolbox. And just like God, we are different instruments in his toolbox. So there's another illustration of who we are. Number one, we're children of the Almighty God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We are servants and bondservants of Jesus Christ. But we're also tools in God's hand to be used at his disposal for his glory. And that was the same that was true for servants, wasn't it? Each servant had his role. Each one was called to do a certain thing. They could be called upon to do other things, but there were some that were specifically for the household, some that went out and worked in the fields, some may have made pottery, some may have done other jobs or tasks, but each one had their role to play. And there was no need to get jealous because they were all needed to make that whole household, that whole family, function well and to succeed. And that's the same thing with us this day. But it says, first of all, to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And I go back to, be filled with the Spirit, because he is the source of true knowledge. And that goes in partnership with the information we gain from this book, from the Bible. We get filled with the knowledge because we study it, we read it, we meditate on it, and we fill our hearts and minds with it. But sometimes, if you're like me, you don't understand something. That's where we need the Spirit of God working with the Word of God to give us spiritual understanding and wisdom. And what's really cool for the Jews, to have spiritual understanding and wisdom meant you know how to apply the information you have for good. You know how to use that information to do good. And that's right here in this whole little section, this whole prayer. It says, bearing fruit, that we might please him in every respect. And how do we please him in every respect? First of all, we bear fruit in every good work. So we do good works. We understand what's good to do and what isn't good to do. What's expedient to do and what's not expedient to do. Even though it might be an okay thing to do and it's not bad to do, but it's not the expedient and the good thing to do at this point in time. There's a time to rebuke your husband and wife. And there's a time to keep your mouth shut, right? I mean, we've all learned that. If you're married, you've all learned that. We've all learned that. There's a time to just be sympathetic and understanding and then bring that correction in later. Or do it some other way. But there's a time. And that's part of wisdom. When is the right time to be considerate and empathetic? When is the right time to speak up? And that takes spiritual wisdom. And that's found through the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together. Bearing fruit in every word. And it bears fruit. What is the fruit? Again, we go back to the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness. Those are the things that it should produce. It doesn't always produce that because sometimes people don't like to hear the truth, do they? And then a result of that, as we apply what we already know, as you apply, as I apply, what we already know from the Word of God and do what it says, guess what happens? We increase in knowledge. How do you increase in knowledge? The best way to increase in knowledge is by doing things, being obedient to the instruction you already have. And then you find out, aha, so this is why it works. Now I understand. Or maybe you find a better way to do it. I had to do that 4 or 5 times, soldering those wires together. I found a couple ways that were not so good and a couple ways that were really good. And then it changed as I went along because you have less space. So you have to do things differently. But you learn as you go what is necessary to do that which is good. Then, as you increase in the knowledge, what happens is you are, all of that stuff is done, and as you obey, as you increase in the knowledge of God, He strengthens you. He makes you stronger. It's just like a muscle. Think of a muscle. Why do athletes work out? To get stronger, so that they might be better at the sport they're doing. So the same thing with muscles if you're working. You just keep working, and over time, you end up being stronger. I have shirts that don't fit me anymore. Because for years and years, I didn't do hardly any physical labor, and I've been on the farm for 2 years, and some of my shirts are getting tight. I was like, wow, what if this happened when I was a teenager? But that's what happens. You get strengthened, but it's with all power according to His glorious might. It is the power of God working through you to continue to increase in knowledge, to continue to do those things that are pleasing to Him, to increase in your wisdom and your understanding of the Word of God, and to be fruitful in every good work. He strengthens us so that becomes the norm for our life. And the only way that can happen is if He strengthens us, and His strength works with our strength to do those things which are good. And then we can go in, and we don't have time this morning to talk about what has the Father done for us. But the bottom line is He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son, which is called the kingdom of light. There's that distinction, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. So even if we were just to take this little bit and look at it, who are we? More importantly, whose are we this morning? Whose are you? Whose am I? Sounds kind of weird saying that, doesn't it? But that's what it is. That's the bottom line. Because until you know whose you are, you will never truly understand who you are. We are defined by our relationships, to whom we belong. If you're a believer, you belong to God the Father, Jesus Christ, His blessed Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're part of a family, but we're also servants. He is our Lord, our Master, and our Savior. And He calls us to be His servants who enjoy doing things that bring pleasure to Him. Because as He rejoices and as He succeeds, as He is glorified, we kind of share in that glory and that success. It just kind of overflows and oozes out of Him and blesses us so that we get to experience His glory and rejoice in that. We get to experience His love, His grace, His mercy in abundant measure. We are in a different realm. We're in a realm of light. We are no longer in darkness. We don't have to fear. We are in a realm of light where we can see things more clearly because of the Spirit of God, because of the knowledge that the Father and the Son have granted to us through His Word and through the experiences He's given us, which then confirm the Word of God. We are defined by what we know. We are defined by our obedience or disobedience, by the measure to which we bring honor and glory to the Father. That is who we are. We're defined by all those things. So most of the time, though, when somebody asks you, we always tell them about our job. We don't usually start off by telling them about our relationships. Well, I'm the son of James and Lucille Griffith. We're going to celebrate their 70th wedding anniversary here in less than a month. And, you know, Mom's going to be 90, Dad's already 90. And I'm their proud son. They've lived a faithful life their entire life. And, you know, and then I talk about my parents because it's really cool. My parents are cool. I'm trying not to burn down your church. but I like to talk about my parents because when you know my parents, then you have a glimpse of who I am. Because I'm a lot like my family. I'm influenced that much. So that's the same thing with us. Who are you? And when they talk about who you are and they ask, who are you? Or, you know, so tell me about yourself. Do we talk about God the Father? Because we're becoming like him. And if they understand who God the Father is, they'll know who we are. Isn't that an interesting thing? Interesting concept? Again, whose are we determines who we are. Let's pray. Blessed Father, we're so grateful that your mercy and grace has been lavished out upon us in abundant measure. We're so grateful that you have called us to be your children, that you have set us aside and given us the privilege of serving you, not because we had to, but because we chose to, because you knew that you wanted to bless us, and that's one of the best ways you could do that. Father, help us to understand who you are, that we might better understand who we are. And Lord, help us to realize, and not to be competitive, to realize that each of us is a unique tool in your toolbox to bring honor and glory to you, that we might help you accomplish, that we might be tools that accomplish your will here on earth. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with us now as we pray together the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let's say together the Apostles' Creed as our benediction. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He ascended to hell. And on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Go in peace. We have another song?
We do.
Okay. We have another song and then you can go east.
We got words. We got words, Jack.